City Council meeting of July 21st, 2025. Roll call.
Mayor DePue.
Present.
Councilwoman Gillis.
Here.
Councilman Thomas.
Here.
Councilwoman Dalbo.
Here.
Councilman Rainbird.
Here.
City Attorney Wolf.
Here.
Interim City Manager Mahoney.
Here.
City Clerk Zlotnick present.
Here in the City of Edgewater, we're going to do something different that we've never done before. Please help me in welcoming Veda Powell, an 8-year-old lifelong resident of the City of Edgewater. Her family has lived in the area for many generations. Veda is a member of Girl Scout Troop 201, and she enjoys reading, dancing, and using her imagination. Her favorite things to do in Edgewater include playing at whistle stop parks, dolphin watching at the river, and visiting the butterfly garden at Hawks Park. She is also a student of the Upward Trend Gala tonight, or Upward Trend Academy in New Smyrna Beach. Tonight, we're going to have her say the Pledge of Allegiance. Would you please join me? All right, here you go.
A Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you. We appreciate it. Thanks for coming. Please stand for a moment of silence at this time. Item 2, approval or changes or modification to the agenda. Other than move the city manager report before citizens' comments, is there any other changes or modifications to the agenda?
Yes, sir. If there was some incorrect noticing for item 10E, so we would like to table that to August 4th. That is the appeal of the Planning and Zoning Board's decision regarding All Florida Plumbing.
Okay, table item 10E and move the city manager report before citizens' comments. Is there any other comments or questions about that?
Well, I do have a question. Why are we moving it to August 4th? What was the
There issue? Was some incorrect notification of the request.
So who didn't get notified?
That I am not certain.
Ms. Dolbo, Mr. Jim Fox and his wife were not properly noticed. And I found this out late afternoon, so I assure you that they'll be properly noticed for the August 4th meeting.
Okay. I just want to make a statement that when that happened at the last meeting with All Florida Plumbing, they did not have the proper notice, but council decided to move forward. I just wanted to see if it doesn't mean the same thing.
I'll put on the record also that the Fox family paid to have it appealed.
Okay. Well, that's I understand that, but it's on the agenda. And I believe it was stated that it's the person's responsibility to check the agenda. And I just feel that if we have to hold both parties accountable, no matter who pays for it.
You're right. It is the person's responsibility to look at the agenda just like it was at the last meeting.
As you stated. Yeah, and here we are doing something different tonight. I just want to make sure everything is on a fair playing field. It's my only point.
I'd like an opinion from the attorney on it.
Yes, I do believe it should be tabled, if there wasn't proper notice. And the council, I think, correctly agreed to rehear the appeal because All Florida Plumbing was not properly notified for the first hearing. So I do think it's important that both parties be properly noticed, and I think we'll get that done, and this will be resolved on August 4th.
That's fantastic. I just wanted to bring it to the attention that didn't happen the last time with All Florida Plumbing. Council dismissed it and heard it anyhow. So I just want to be on record saying that, and I appreciate it being heard in August.
And then
Ms. Dalbo, I think he's playing a game with us.
I agree.
And then the motion was adopted to reheard. But is there consensus to table item 10?
I move to table.
C.
One second.
All right? Roll call.
Do we need a motion or is just consensus?
I think consensus is fine.
Okay.
I
get consensus.
I do not, but that's fine.
I do for the legal opinion.
Yeah, I do appreciate that. I agree.
Mr. Rainbird? I give consensus as well. Okay. Item 3, approval of the minutes. Seeing none at this time. Oh,
no,
item.
That was my mistake, taking it off of, not taking it off of the PowerPoint.
Oh, sure. Okay, item 3, there was no approval of the minutes at this time. Item 4, presentation, proclamation, plaques, certificates, and or donations. Item 4A, proclamation, Water Professionals Month. Proclamation, Florida Water Professionals Month. Whereas the Florida Water and Pollution Control Operators Association, organized in 1940, is a profit trade organization that promotes sustainability in Florida water utility industry through workforce development to protect the health of Florida citizens and to preserve the state's water resource. And whereas, this organization offers water and wastewater treatment plant operators and water distribution officers training courses required for the state Florida operators license, 8 voluntarily certification programs, and continuing education programs for operator license renewal. And whereas the organization and recognizing the importance of the Florida statutes and administrative code that regulates the water industry acts as liaison between the Florida Department of Environmental Protection and industry personnel. And whereas the Florida Water and Pollution Control Operators Association recognize all those who have played a significant part in operating and maintaining drinking water, wastewater, and stormwater systems in Florida by celebrating Florida Water Professionals Month, in which applauds their constant efforts to protect our health and environment. And whereas water professionals are essential first responders as defined by Florida Statute 403.865B, during storms and other catastrophic events, working to ensure safe drinking water and safe disposal of wastewater for our communities. Now, therefore, I, Deza DePue, on behalf of the City of Edgewater, Florida, do hereby proclaim August 2025 as Florida Water Professional Month in Edgewater and extend greetings and best wishes to Florida water professionals. And witness, I have here and do set my hand this 11th day of July, 2025, and cause this seal to be affixed. Is anybody here to accept the proclamation? Awesome. Okay, item 4, City Manager Report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few updates for you. Good news, the Council Chamber sound system, the lapel microphones and the additional capacity to our sound system have been ordered. Working with our vendor, and we anticipate an install date sometime in late August. Update to the Duck Lake project. We did award the contract to ThadCon. This week, the field survey commenced, which is doing the locates for utilities before starting the project. The construction is scheduled to start the week of 7/28. The project includes 72 feet of pipe underneath Needle Palm Drive at 17th Street, installation of a control structure at the northeast corner of Needle and 17th that will pump into... that we will pump into, and then the concrete pad installed on 17th Street near the southwest corner of Duck Lake to place the pump. And the project should take a couple weeks, so I'm excited to have that project in motion. We are looking to acquire some strategic acquisitions through the CRA funds. We're looking to purchase 123 West Park Avenue and 114 North Riverside Drive. That aligns with our long-term vision plan for Park Avenue. An update on traffic and speeding at Jones Fish Camp Road. Our police department conducted a speed survey between July 7 and July 14. During this time, they recorded 904 vehicles. They are continuing to study the location to determine the appropriate speed limit, and we have increased enforcement in that area. As you all know, we had a rain event last Tuesday in Vest 93. This system affected our city on July 15th, with the majority of the rain falling between 8 a.m. and noon. We received about 4 to 6 inches, depending on the location. The total rain saturation for that 48-hour period was approximately 10 inches. Overall, the city fared very well. We had a robust response with all hands on deck. We utilized our brand new pumps to move water into the area of Queen Palm and Lime Tree Drive. We also had both our vac trucks in use to move water to prevent water intrusion at some specific homes. And I must say that Public Works did an excellent job during their response. Additionally, I've been working on job equivalency for certain positions in our city. I've identified two categories of employees that we can utilize experience over a high school diploma or GED. That's the requirement on the job notice will be changed to preferred rather than required. And those two positions are maintenance worker and equipment operator. So it should generate some more applicants for those positions. And lastly, the City Hall remodel, the project continues. Parks and Rec, they work fast and they're doing a great job. We have an anticipated completion date of early September. There's a lot going on, but that's my brief report for this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Great job, City Manager. We truly appreciate it. Okay, item 5, citizens' comments. This is a time for the public to come forward with any comments they may have. Citizens' comments related to any agenda matter may be made at the time the matter is before the council. Please state your name and address, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes or less.
Good evening, council and citizens. My name is Bliss Jamison, 635 Air Park Road. I came tonight to tell you about the Disaster Preparedness and Business Continuity webinar. It will be held on August 12th, 2025. I've got information that I will give to Bonnie for you all, and then I will leave these flyers in the back of the room. It's hosted by the Southeast Volusia Manufacturing and Technology Coalition. We're going to have presentations by the Small Business Administration and the Small Business Development Center at Daytona State College. Topics include, but are not limited to, business continuity planning, overview of the disaster loan program, the eligibility, the loan limits, the mitigation, economic injury, disaster loan, etc. So with the storm season, we thought this would be timely, and we hope everybody will tune in. It's a webinar, so you can do it from the comfort of your own home. This will be August the 12th from 2 to 3 p.m.
Thank you, Ms. Jamison. That's truly appreciated. Please give it to the city clerk, and as she stated, could you put some on the back as you exit for the citizens? Thank you.
My name is Art Slack, 3031 Umbrella Tree Drive, Edgewater, Florida, 32141. A while back, I discussed water letters. And the town started to take care of the water letters. Didn't complete it. The water letters is still there. But when I called about it, environmental, I got a call back, and it says it was all completed, removed. And I know it wasn't. And then another method was used, and I don't think the public really wants to know the method, to get rid of the water letters. Basically, I was lied to. The water letters is still there. It just went from one part of the canal down to the other where the water's got to exit. I hope somebody addresses this. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Slack. We'll get that address for you.
Cynthia Black, Umbrella Tree. When you discuss water rights tomorrow, I want to make you aware, and I'm not sure if you were really aware last year when the rates were approved, and I know two of you voted no, but even voted no, voting no, nobody really came up with any solutions in the budget meetings to vote no against it. But to make you aware, when you approved, when the rates were approved, for 0 to 2,000 gallon usage, the previous rate before the increase was approved was $2.79 for 0 to 2,000 gallons. They were raised 68.1% to $4.69 for 0 to 3,000 gallons. But the previous rate was for 0 to 2,000 gallons. You threw it in for 0 to 3,000 gallons, but you punished the people using for 0 to 2,000 gallons by raising it, their rates by 68.1%. How is that fair to those people who are mostly seniors who don't use 3,000 gallons of water a month? I am one of those people on a fixed income, on Social Security. I want you to note that when you go into meetings tomorrow. I know it's only $1.90 extra, but everything counts because you also, you're recycling. In the past 5 years, it has doubled in rates. Most of us seniors don't really put out recycling. We don't have enough. You know, I have a filter on my refrigerator. So the only time I use bottled water is when I leave the house. I don't leave the house that often, but I carry a bottled water with me. I don't really drink soft drinks. I don't drink alcoholic beverages. So I have nothing to put out. You know, I don't have a gallon milk jugs. And those gallon milk jugs often end up in the swells in my culvert that I have to go take out. They're blocking my culverts. You know, I have some medical problems. I don't like to bend down, so I'm not even, you know, to carry it out there for one thing, and to bend down, take those gallon milk jugs is another thing. You know, only there's about 40% of us that don't even put out recycling. Now, God bless the small business. I'm not against them. But, you know, it's getting ridiculous. You hear the people on Facebook that don't even use, you know, put out recycling. I'm not saying get rid of it, but, you know, there's 40% of us that are paying for it that don't use it. So, you know, these are things to think about that we need to cut out. Or, I'm sorry, find a solution for. And also,
thank you, ma'am, for your comments. There'll be more time at the end of the meeting, and that will be discussed tomorrow. And I think that this council has talked in the past about an opting out solution for the recycling. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Carmen Wallace. I live at 2331 Mango Tree Drive. I'd like to address the rain event that we had on July 15th. Where I live is a culvert that is to drain into the canal system. There was a crack in it, and I'm not a structural engineer, but they came out and filled that, and now the water no longer drains out of the culvert, and all of our yards quickly backed up with water. My yard, my neighbors across the street, and the way that it is set up, you know, it has that long-running culvert on city property, and that stayed filled for 4 straight days after that rain event because it is absolutely not draining. I had spoken to a city worker. Unfortunately, I didn't ask his name about how this was going to work because the drain is so high, and the water is down here. So basically now we have a mini retention pond, a very small mini retention pond, that cannot reach the top of the drain to drain out the water. So we all suffered very hard on Mango in 2022 from the floods. And now I'm even more concerned because a rain event, which only lasted a couple of hours, which is not a tropical storm, which is not a hurricane, was already backing that much water up, and then that water sat there for 4 days. So this is a serious problem, and I don't know exactly who to address with this. Do we have an engineer that is working on this issue? Because I see the city out there quite a bit looking at it, you know, scratching their heads and then getting back in their trucks and then leaving. And, you know, it's I'm still actually doing repairs on my home from 2022, and watching that water come up that fast in my yard that day just really brought back, you know, a little bit of trauma. But now, you know, the concern is constant, because now we're going into the heart of hurricane season, and there's no doubt, even with a tropical storm, it's going to flood us out again. So, if you could take that into consideration and let us know what's going to happen, have somebody come out there, because I'm not a structural engineer, but I know if water's down here and the drain's way up here, we have a problem. So I'd appreciate it if somebody could take the time, go out, take a look at it, and get a plan made, because not only was the water sitting for 4 days, it was, the water stunk. I mean, the odor was quite bad, and I'm sure, you know, the mosquitoes were already quickly starting to lay all their eggs in there. We are absolutely infested. So this is an issue. I just wanted to bring it to your attention that we need help. We need help with this situation.
Thank you for your comments. I'm going to address that, actually, in the next portion of this at council reports.
Okay. Thank you so much for hearing me out. I appreciate it.
No problem. Thank you for your comments.
Good evening. Frank Potemsky, 3331 Mango Tree. And I want to say that the problem that was just discussed happens at my house every time it rains. The exact same thing happened. They concreted up the notch that was cut into the back of the catch basin, which caused the water to back up into the street. The top of the catch basin collected so much garbage and rubbish that the water could no longer run through the grading, which now I've got water running over into the canal. Something needs to be done, and it needs to be done now. We've been putting this off, putting it off. People have complained about it. And other than the little help that I got from a couple of the city people sitting around here this evening, I would have been in dire straits had the rain come the next day. I've complained to the city engineer. He pretty much told me, well, it is what it is. Well, people, it's not the way it is. It's not the way it should be. You got people sitting down on the end of Mango Tree, could send out trucks, they could do any number of things to help alleviate this. Up until this past flood, I'm going to call it a flood, because it did fill up the street, nobody has ever come out to see what that catch basin is doing. The amount of logs, cut grass, leaves, and everything else that collects on it. Without that notch being in the back of it, the water doesn't go. It just does not go. Give us a break.
I'm going to bring that up, like I stated, in the next council reports and what the residents should be doing about it. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Carmen Aran. I'm at 2403 Mango Tree Drive in Edgewater. I'm across the street from the other lady that just spoke a few moments ago, and we have that culvert there. I went out with a rake not knowing that the concrete was filled in, and I thought that there was a plug up there, you know, maybe from leaves or what have you. So I was out there with a rake in the middle of the rain trying to loosen up what I thought was a congested plug up into that tube that goes out into the canal. Went out after the rain had cleared up, which was on Sunday, went out there, and I was looking into the canal. We still have I have pictures and a video to show if anybody wants to see it, but where the water's supposed to run in, where it was running in, through that tube to go out into the canal, the tube that's on the other side of the canal, there was water probably at least a foot underneath the drain. And yet we had to go 4 days with water sitting in that culvert there. And you said about lime tree being clear, it was from lime to mango in my neighbor's yard that was completely full. That's where the water sat for 4 days. And let me tell you, I don't know if you guys experienced any flooding. I had my first one with Ian, and I was scared to death. I had never experienced one before, and when you fear losing everything, everything that you've ever worked for, and you have nothing else to fall on, I don't know if you felt it, but if you didn't, I hope you never do.
Thank you. Like I said, that'll be addressed.
My name is Nelson Rivera. I'm from 1723 Willow Oaks Drive. And I just want to make a few comments regarding the, I look around when I drive around the Edgewater, some of the swales, I guess what they call them, that they're actually so shallow that water doesn't hold on them. And the water just keeps going towards streets. So that's another problem with the flooding here in Edgewater. In addition to all the other, the infrastructure and all the canals, which all have to be all eventually all cleaned up. Otherwise, if this whole system doesn't work as a whole, nothing will function. And then another comment I had regarding traffic on 442 between the Route 1 and the Airport Road. There's actually, it's when I try to get on some of those streets, there's 60 miles an hour, the speeds on some of those, on that road. They think it's a real major highway, a lot of the people driving there. And what happens, sometimes it takes so long to get out. And it's, if you, one side clears up, the other one is not clear because you have people going 50, 60 miles an hour. I think what's needed there between Route 1 and Airport Road, it's actually need a light to slow some kind of traffic in between those two points. That would be a help in addition to, you know, enforcement of the traffic speed, which is 40 miles an hour in that section. And after Willow, it's actually around 45 miles an hour. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your comments and suggestions. It's appreciated. Okay. Item 6, council reports. Councilwoman Gillis.
I'm going to be short today. I mean, in the last couple of weeks, I've met with a lot of residents and addressed a lot of concerns, especially after the rain event. I was going out and meeting with people and taking notes and taking all the pictures I got and giving them to Joe to get them to the correct people, just trying to get things solved item by item. So, like you guys are out here speaking today. When there's things going on, please reach out to us so that way we can get it to the right people. Because I know within the week of that, since that rainstorm, I know they've sent out people to a lot of the places that I called in, and I'm thankful that things are starting to be addressed now. So, but I'm going to yield my time because I want to hear what you have to say to address those other issues.
Sure. Councilman Thomas.
Yes, sir. I rode around during the rain event, checking on stuff, and, you know, we're not there yet, but we've gained a lot, I guarantee it. It's not as bad, you know, as what we think it is. I mean, the city workers have done excellent. I rode around with Tommy Smith today, and we went down to the road that's going into the hammock. They're a mile in the hammock, and we dead it in into the cypress swamp, and the water is flowing that way. I was so proud. I couldn't believe it. The water's flowing down the ditch behind Silver Palm, and then it's making a right turn, and it's going all the way to the Cypress where it's supposed to go.
That's what I was going to ask for a report on tonight. So glad you've seen it.
And, yeah, and that canal is bigger than the 18th Street Canal. Mm-hmm. It's huge. It's 25, 30 foot wide. I'm talking about the ditch behind Florida Shores. And water was flowing south. We passed about, good Lord, I don't know how many workers, you know, digging out culverts and making sure that that's going. So I can't say enough to you, Mr. Maroney, that you did excellent. I mean, they cleared a mile down that road, our city workers, and they can't get in the ditch now because of the overflow of water, but Tommy assured me that they're going to dig that ditch out, and that's going to take a lot of water from the backside of the shores into the hammock where it needs to go.
It will.
So, and to address that gentleman's statement on the traffic, it's evident that there's speeding, but my son's wife got stopped. She was doing 51 and a 45. So they're out there, I guarantee you. So good job, Chief. So I know you're doing what you can. So, but that place, oh, my gosh. It, like he said, you can't hardly get out anymore. But we're doing what we can on that. And the second part of my report will come later.
Thank you. Councilwoman Dalva.
Thank you. Okay, I also like to say thank you to all the city workers during the rain event. Every issue that I had that I brought to our intern, I want to say Chief Mahoney, it was taken care of. I thank you for that, getting back with the residents promptly, and they were very impressed and very thankful. And I was very, very surprised when I came home one day and I saw the pump at Lime Tree, which I've never seen before. And I went over and spoke with a worker for a few minutes, and he explained to me that the flooding on, I believe it was Pine, they were trying to get some of the water alleviated and moving more quickly, which was wonderful. So as it came to swales closer to Lime Tree, they were pumping into the lake, then behind the canal behind my home. And the lake was great, and I just appreciate, you know, that going the extra effort. So thank you for that. And my second part, at the pleasure of touring an upcoming industrial business right here in Edgewater, it's called Intersect. And Intersect provides metal plating for aerospace, aviation, homeland security, defense, marine, and medical industry. Just name a few things that it's going to do in the city of Edgewater. They purchased this 36,000 square foot building in January of this year and received their permit to begin renovations July. They plan on being open mid to late October. They're working to obtain another permit for an additional 56,000 square feet of manufacturing space. They have invested $2 million in equipment for existing facility and will be investing another $4 million in equipment for the 56,000 expansion. A total investment of $6 million will be subject to tangible property taxes, which is in addition to the regular property tax right here for Edgewater. In October, they will have 50 to 60 good-paying jobs, high-quality jobs, and 150 jobs after the expansion, we're hoping within 2 years. And there, from there, they'll build. This company helps diversify manufacturing industry, what at this time relies heavily on the boat industry, which we have thankful for. This company is less susceptible to economic downturn because of it serves so many different entities. So it's foolproof. It's great. There is an additional 137 acres of vacant industrial land adjacent to this facility. And I want to stress how very important it is that this land remains available to industry to attract more of these types of businesses. So that's it. I'm excited to have toured that. I believe most of council did tour it. And I just wanted to bring it to the residents' attention that this is going to be something that's great for our tax base. So I appreciate them. And I think by them coming in, it's going to open the door for other manufacturers who come in who are going to need their services for their businesses. So I believe they're going to be a hub to attract more of the same. So welcome to the Edgewater.
I want to echo that. Thank you for bringing that up. I want to just state it's at the old Factory Direct across the street from Boston Whaler. Before that, it was a cart manufacturing facility. It's going to be a perfect match here in the city. As you say, it's going to create 50 high-paying jobs. It's going to be great as well as an expansion. They serve SpaceX and the medical industry. But most of all, I want to thank Bliss Jameson for helping make that happen with Volusia Manufacturing, along with Ryan has been in contact with the gentleman who's over the project and really made sure it got off the ground. So truly, thank you for everyone involved. This is a type of development and industry that we need in the city of Edgewater that's already at existing structure. So thanks to everyone involved. Thanks for bringing that up.
That's all I have.
Okay. Councilman Rainbird.
Good evening, Edgewater. I attended a budget workshop, and I was a little surprised that we are reporting that we're keeping $4 million in our reserve savings. That is set by a percentage of our charter, I believe. I think the Charter Review Committee might want to review that. $4 million just in case, where if we could take just $1 million of that, we could really help Queen Palm. We could help so many other things. I don't think we'd have to ask the citizens of this great city for an increase in the water bill. I really want to avoid that, folks. I really don't want to ask you for any more. One of the biggest complaints that I am getting in this town is the water bill and the quality of the water. I'm sorry for that. I'm going to try my best for us to find a solution and make your life a little more affordable for you. Regarding the rainstorm, I was in North Carolina, and it was on the news up there that, once again, Volusia County is getting heavy rain. So it's like at national attention level now, folks. But I was in constant contact. And Public Works, Parks and Rec, our leadership, from what I understand, we had some trouble spots. It receded a lot quicker. We found some more spots to work on. Thanks to the diligent calling and informing of you people, we're now more aware of more spots. We can't see everything. You're our eyes and ears, folks. So if anything comes up, get it to one of us. We get it to Chief Mahoney. He gets it to the proper people. We're having like stuff addressed so quick. I'm so proud of this whole, we're trying, guys. We're doing what we can with what we got. It's going to get better. We're in a learning curve here, some of us new folks. And as I stated at the last meeting, Senate Bill 180 is now law. It's tied our hands, as I find, in more ways than I previously knew. As Mr. Wolf confirmed to my question, we have a charter review committee coming up in a little less than a year. It's going to limit what changes we could put in there, folks. Manatee County is now facing a legal challenge because they're putting rises into impact fees, which we were discussing raising our impact fees. Well, guess what we can't do, folks? The less we can charge the builders to come in here and use our land and make our traffic flow even worse, we're going to foot that bill because we can't increase the fee. So that's not so good. And we were told it lasts till 2029. I read the bill now. Correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Wolf, but if another hurricane happens, that extends it another 3 years. There will be another hurricane in 3 years. This is going to last forever.
Right. It does. There is language in there regarding hurricanes and what you cannot do after a hurricane event. So, yes.
And then my next part is I would like to thank you, Mr. Wolf, because I asked a couple questions at two meetings ago. The last meeting, you had some of the answers. I appreciate your help. Deltona, I don't know if it's happened yet, but Deltona is looking into a legal challenge to SB 180. Well, I don't know what the law is called now, but it's no longer Senate bill, it's law. And like I said, it's really going to be a challenge for us to work around. So my main goal right now is to, if there is a challenge, I don't need a consensus yet because we don't know if there is a challenge yet. There are a couple lawyers named out there that are pretty good, but I would like to see us join in on any challenge to this bill. The more, I think Manatee County, Orange County, they just passed a couple motions despite SB 180 being passed. They're challenging it. So I would just like to put that out there that the hill that I want to die on is fighting this. I mean, this is really going to devastate. This is taking away home rule, the box drains being fixed, any maneuver that we're going to have a hard time asking for more money. We're going to have a hard time telling builders they can't build up 15 feet. This is really not a good thing. So that's my main goal, is to reverse this at whatever cost it takes. I work for you. I don't work for them, and I'm going to do my best to try to initiate that, folks.
Eric,
that is the rest of my time.
Please, no public participation at this time.
Eric, I just want to throw in that I fully support that. I know we're not asking for consensus, but I am all for fighting it as well. I just figured we were going to discuss that tomorrow at the workshop.
Well, we don't know. We don't know if they're Mr. Wolf. I believe you've been in contact with some Mr. Cole, who I understand has experience with fighting some of the state chains. Home rule. We're a home rule state. They just really took it away from us. So,
from what I
on your side, guys.
From what I understand, there's going to be a bunch of cities that get together and challenge.
Let's hope so.
Well,
that's what we discussed last
week. Yes, that's what I was going to say. I'm looking forward to discussing this tomorrow. I think all of us our opinions are very mutual based on the fact that we gave consensus at the last meeting for Mr. Wolf to reach out to the attorney down south. It was successful in eliminating Form 6, I'm looking forward to what is going to occur. To hopefully we can join the other cities like was stated, but we will speak on that more tomorrow. I think none of us are happy with SB 180 and anything that we could do to help continue in a positive manner here in the city of Edgewater with what we've already worked on, we'll do.
I have one more last minute point, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Mahoney, it might be a good idea, since this has come up a lot, maybe we could have these box drains explained to the people.
Well, that's what I was actually going to bring up in my next report.
Part of those, it's called a retention pond because it is supposed to retain some water. I understand there's much better mosquito control techniques out there, but correct me if I'm wrong, I'm just saying that all the water in this city that falls down can't go into the system once. It's got to be held back a little bit. Some of those drains, I believe, are a little too high. They should have a barrier around them to keep the floating debris out so that it will drain. I think yours might be drained. But I'm not an expert on those, but I know that some of these ponds are supposed to hold water to control flow into the main. But, I mean, I think it would be a good idea for us to get explained, because the DEP told us we had to fix these, correct?
Well, if I could just get to the second half, I'm going to state it. I was going to bring it up.
Okay. There you go.
I agree with you, Councilman Rainbird, and that's what I was going to talk about. So I'll go ahead and bring that up first in my report. Is I want to tell the residents, and just so they know, I received 41 calls about how much water were in retention areas. My parents live behind you guys at 2330 Lime Tree Drive. It sat there for 5 days. Before we get into that, I want to just state how well of a job our interim city manager and public works did. Tommy did a tremendous job. Sean did a tremendous job. Jess Thurman did a tremendous job. Our VAC crew did a great job. Chris, Rusty, Tommy Smith, they were all out there, did a wonderful job, saved 2 homes from being flooded. It was so great to see something positive going on in our community, like you stated. There was 2 pumps that were going to dry out Queen Palm Drive. As soon as they got there, Queen Palm Drive was completely dry within 2 hours, where the water was over the road. You could barely drive through it without creating a leak. And now it was completely dry 2 hours. So we're moving in the right direction. I don't think that would have occurred before. We're purchasing a permanent trash vac truck, and we have 2 commercial trash pumps that we didn't have before. So looking forward with moving ahead, we've got the Duck Lake project, which is going to be tremendous. I'm glad you gave an update on that. As Councilman Thomas stated, they're working near the Silver Palm Drive corridor at 30th Street to the Valco Swamp. So that's going to be tremendous. Okay, to address the box drains, unfortunately, a few residents contacted the state. The state then contacted St. John's Water Management, and St. John's Water Management was in contact with Jeff Thurman, who was our interim city manager at the time, along with Sean Maroney. And please correct me if my facts are incorrect at all during this. I wasn't a part of the direct conversations. Unfortunately, they gave the directions to our public works facility, which makes zero sense to me, to actually concrete the culverts up, concrete the box culverts, and we had to do them by a certain date. I really don't understand why. My parents' home had water in it, like I said, for 5.5 days. I truly don't understand why. At this point in time, I've contacted State Representative Chase Tremont, who was on who was at a conference and then had daddy duties this weekend, as he quotes. He called me today. We're setting up a meeting in the meantime, we talk very regularly. I think we're going to find a solution to this. We've already talked, and the interim city manager has talked with Public Works Facility about potentially having a short-term solution with how we could pull some kind of necessarily a PVC pipe or something that would be to St. John's Water Management standards for emergency purposes only. But I'm in contact, and the interim city manager is in contact with Representative Tremont. He's going to come down toward the city, see exactly what's going on as a whole. He's been a tremendous asset to the city of Edgewater, and I think we're going to find a permanent solution. And I'll quote him, if they told you to do that, then they better have a plan for you other than just, hey, box these up. So I'm looking forward to hopefully having that addressed within the week. Like I said, I've gotten several calls. I drove around from 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. talking with the media, talking with dozens of residents, and they were all the same calls over and over and over again, my box culverts, because then especially on Lime Tree, Mango Tree, Queen Palm Drive, the problematic areas, the water just couldn't get to the canals. These folks are totally correct. So I hope a solution, a permanent solution, is coming soon. If it's not, we definitely will have a short-term solution for hurricane season that will be to St. John's Water Management standard. So just to say that, if you guys have anything else to add to it, that's just where I'm at. I'm in contact with State Representative Tremont.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, we are working for a solution for emergencies. And I can tell you, I probably shouldn't say this publicly, but I'm going to. If we had a significant event and we're under a state of emergency and we have to open those boxes up, we're going to open those boxes up so people don't flood. It's that simple. And then we'll have to repair them. But that's our mentality. We're going to do what we have to do, and we'll have our issues with St. John's afterwards. We'd probably have to go right back through and concrete them, but we're not going to let flooding occur in a state of emergency. It's to the best of our ability. I promise you that.
Well, I'm glad that you're stating that, and that's exactly what needs to be done. I don't understand why it was like that in the first place, so thank you so much. Just one other thing, and Councilman Thomas brought it up. Could you give it, because I got a few calls about it, could you or Sean or Jeff give an update on what exactly is going on 30th Street? Folks call it the Silver Palm Canal.
Sean, are you prepared to speak about that?
Sean Maroney, Interim Deputy Director of Public Works. Are you talking about the new canal that we've opened up?
Yes,
the one going west?
Yes, and I think that there's a couple culverts laying around.
Right, so
in the swell areas.
Like Councilman Thomas stated, we've cleaned that canal that goes to the west that's probably hasn't been touched since it was dug. You know, it was a hunting camp back there. They just used that as an access road, and they weren't too concerned about the flow of the water in there. They just needed that to get back there, but we've opened that up. We've taken down a few trees to give us some better access to it. We're going to continue to work on it, but like Mr. Thomas said, it is flowing, so it does allow water to move. Another thing that we've done is there was probably about seven crossings in there where there was supposed to be potential roads. We've removed at least three of those crossings to allow water to flow better, because you've got at some points a 30-foot wide canal that goes through two 30-inch pipes. You know, it just doesn't make a ton of sense. So remove some of those restrictions. We do have to leave the one for our access to we call it the 29.5 canal going west. And then we've got another one at, I believe it's 24th Street, to give us the access to the north end of the canal. But we'll keep an eye on those. And being at the north end, it's not as big a deal because it's the beginning of the canal, so not as much flow coming through there. But having that secondary canal definitely gives us some relief on that side of town.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for that update. I'm glad you've seen it firsthand, and now I know exactly what to state to the residents. Appreciate it.
I wish I could have took pictures. It was just, I could have, but I don't know how to put them on the screen for everybody. But, I mean, it's amazing. It was amazing to me to see what they have accomplished. Oh, my God, I was just
exactly.
Amazed.
Exactly. And to follow Councilman Rainbird, just one other thing. You're 100% correct. I know we can't give directed to Sean or Jeff, but if we could get consensus to give to the city manager, even if he could state it, could you state exactly what a box culvert is, why it's like that, if debris goes into a box culvert, how it's supposed to go at the next council meeting, if you don't mind, because I do hear about the box culverts quite a bit. Great point.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you, Councilman Rainbird, for that recommendation. Okay. Seeing no further comments or reports. Okay, item 7. There is nothing on the consent agenda at this time. I'm asking, is there nothing on the consent agenda at this time? Wow, that changed. Okay. Item 8, public hearing, ordinances and resolutions. Item 8A, resolution 2025-R-14, fire assessment fee. Please read into the record.
Resolution number 2025-R-14, a resolution of the City of Edgewater, Florida, relating to the reimposition of a fire services assessment for provision of fire protection services, facilities, and programs, providing authority, purpose, and definitions, providing legislative findings, describing the method of assessing fire services assessment costs against properties within the City of Edgewater, determining the fire assessment costs and initial fire services assessments, directing the preparation of an assessment rule authorizing a public hearing and directing the provision of notice therefor, providing for severability, conflicts, and an effective date.
Thank you. Staff report.
The City Council approved the first year of fire service assessments in FY23. That would be imposed against real property for the purpose of paying for fire protection services. Staff is recommending continuation of fire services assessment for FY26. The initial fire assessment resolution sets a tone for the assessment and provides for a purpose and definition for various terms associated with the program. Once adopted, notification to property owners of Edgewater will be sent via first-class mail as part of the annual trim notice. The fire assessment fee will be imposed until discontinued or changed. The fee was held flat with no increase. Staff recommends approval.
Thank you, sir. Open a public hearing. Citizens' comments. Council comments. The fee was held flat. There's no increases at this time. It's been around for, I think, how many years? Since 2022, if I'm not mistaken, Jeff? Or
23.
23? Awesome. Okay. Close the public hearing. Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve resolution number 2025-R-14, fire assessment fee.
Second, Rainbird.
Seconded by Councilman Rainbird, whose microphone is still low. Roll call.
Maybe it's me.
I heard you in the beginning.
Councilwoman Dalbo?
Yes.
Councilman Rainbird?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilman Thomas?
Yes.
Item 8B, resolution number 2025-R-28, authorization for the city manager to enter agreements with Volusia County for acceptance of property acquired through the Housing and Urban Development's HUD Community Disaster Block Grant Disaster Recovery, CBDGDR program of funding the Single Family Homeowner Repair and Replacement Program and the Homeowner Recovery Buyout Pathway. Please read into the record.
Resolution number 2025-R-28, a resolution of the City Council of the City of Edgewater, Florida, authorizing the city manager to enter into agreements with the Volusia County for the acceptance of properties acquired through the Housing and Urban Development HUD Community Disaster Block Grant Disaster Recovery, CBDGDR, funded Single Family Homeowner Repair and Replacement Program and Homeowner Recovery Program Buyout Pathway, providing for severability and providing for an effective date.
Awesome. Staff report.
Volusia County has received CDBGDR funding from the U.S. Department of HUD for disaster recovery efforts following Hurricanes Ian and Milton. Volusia County established the Office of Recovery and Resiliency, operating as Transform 386. Transform 386 manages two key programs, the Single Family Homeowner Repair and Replacement Program and the Hurricane Milton Homeowner Recovery Program. Both programs include voluntary homeowner buyout components, which involved the acquisition of properties from willing sellers in flood-prone areas. Local governments are eligible to receive title to properties acquired through these programs, subject to deed restrictions that permanently dedicate the land to uses compatible with open space, floodplain management, or wetlands management practices. Upon transfer of ownership, the city assumes sole responsibility for all ongoing maintenance obligations associated with each property. Staff recommends approval for the City Council to authorize the City Manager to execute all necessary documents with Volusia County or its designees to accept city ownership of Transform 386 properties located within our city.
Thank you. Open a public hearing. Citizens' comments. Council comments.
As I understand it, and I asked a few questions, there's about $20 million for the buyouts. When I asked how long the process would take, I was told at this time it's hard to estimate, but the buyout portion will be open approximately the end of July, sometime this month, end of this month, and it'll be handled through the county. I was asked if there is any list that a resident could be put on if they're interested to have this possible buyout, and the information I was given today was that it's all through the county, and the city would not have a list. But I was also told the interested residents can contact the city and also watch for further information on the city newsletter and on social media. So if it's something you might be interested in, just stay tuned and watch social media, and it's taken care of by the county, but the city, if you contact the city, they can put you in touch with the right people.
Great point. That was semi my question. It's not through the city. It's through the county. And is the city have any monetary duties to help with this program? Or will the property be then donated to us? Just curious.
We'd be responsible to maintain the property once we acquired it.
So just maintenance. We're not partnering with the county to purchase any property.
Correct.
It's county funding through the federal government.
Correct.
Thank you.
And I did want to comment, because I had a few residents reach out to me, that this is something that people can voluntarily apply for if they are interested. This is not us going out there seeking properties or anything of that nature. This is a program that if a resident was interested, they could reach out and apply for.
Yes, right.
So this is a voluntary thing that if people were interested in that, they could do themselves.
Correct.
Yes, and the individual who's over it is Donna DeMarsh, I believe, at the county. Reach out to her if you have any kind of questions and if you would qualify for this.
And this is for what exactly? To buy a house that's in a flood area that we could possibly knock down for water retention area?
Correct.
So we have an area where we have random spots of county people that aren't represented by us, and unfortunately their county. If we have a block of 20 houses and this guy sells his house, and this guy over here sells his house, we're potentially, and I guess we'll have to foot the bill for demolition and hauling of the house and all that. But I'm just there looking for all the possibilities. But this is basically for floodplain or where to put stormwater?
So I don't know all the details. We had one meeting with Transform 386, and they're rolling the program out. I can get some more detailed answers for you. But really, this is a voluntary program where it's grant funding for the city to acquire property to create retention areas. It's a positive program.
These are just things that pop in my head. I see us knocking the building down. EPA wants to see every little bucket and scoop that we take out of there. Is there anything potentially hazardous in taking that house out? I'm just hoping it doesn't become more than we're willing to get into. But you'll have those answers.
I will.
Any other comments? Close the public hearing. Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve resolution number 2025-R-28, authorization for the city manager to enter into agreements with Volusia County for acceptance of properties acquired through the Housing and Urban Development Community Disaster Block Program, Recovery CBDG-DR Program for funding the Single Family Homeowner Repair and Replacement Program and the Homeowner Recovery Program Buyout Pathway.
Second Rainbow.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbo?
Yes.
Councilman Rainbird?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilman Thomas?
Yes. Item 9, Board Appointments. Item 9A, Firefighters Pension Board. Councilwoman Gillis, appointment to fill the unexpired term of Ron Hayward. Open a public hearing. Council comments, which I think.
I don't really have any comments. We have Jason Haynes' application. I mean, Mr. Haynes has been a firefighter here for 20 plus years. He is an asset, and I think he'd be great on the board, and I'm more than happy to appoint him.
Okay. Citizens' comments. Back to council comments. Seeing no discussion, I echo. Is there a motion to approve?
So I will make a motion to appoint Jason Haynes to fill the unexpired term of Ron Hayward on the Firefighter Pension Board.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbo?
Yes.
Councilman Rainbird?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilman Thomas?
Yes.
Item 10, other business. Item 10A, maximum millage levy, Edgewater, operating fiscal year 2025 to 2026. Staff report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Bridget Vass here, Finance Director with the City of Edgewater. The maximum millage levy this evening for Edgewater operating fiscal year 25-26, in conjunction with the notice of proposed property taxes or TRIM notice, excuse me, pursuant to 200.069 of Florida statute, Council must advertise the maximum millage rate for the upcoming budget. The current operating millage rate is 6.33 per thousand of assessed value. The current taxable value is $2,222,709,693. The current year rollback millage rate is 5.9161 per thousand assessed value. With the current rollback rate, the preliminary ad valorem taxes for fiscal year 2026 would be $12,492,284 at a 95% collection rate. At the current year millage rate of 6.33 per thousand of taxable value would produce an estimated $13,149,773 in preliminary ad valorem taxes. What we need from Council this evening is to authorize the Edgewater operating maximum millage to be advertised as part of the 2025 TRIM notice. The fiscal year 2026 proposed budget was presented at the July 8th budget workshop, and it was based on the 6.33 millage rate. And I would be happy to answer any questions, but we want the motion for millage rate for the operating budget.
Thank you. And it's the same millage rate as last year before we opened the public hearing, correct?
Correct. So we are recommending that we hold the rate flat. It's still considered per Florida statute a tax increase, so that's how it would be advertised. But we're recommending that the millage rate itself is held flat.
And this is not approving, it's just stating what to approve to advertise.
So, right, so we're just approving the amount that would be advertised on the TRIM notice that goes out for our two public hearings in September, and that way all the citizens are notified of what we are proposing.
Great.
This would be the maximum amount that we would be able to levy without going through unbelievable hoops and re-noticing everything. We can reduce the millage, but you would in no terms want to try to increase it after this notice goes out.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
We'll open the public hearing. Citizens' comments. Council comments. This is just for advertisement, like I stated, to the public, and this is not approving it tonight.
Well, she can always come down and go up.
Exactly. Okay. Close the public hearing. Is there a motion to approve?
I make a motion to hold the flat rate millage rate at 6.33 for the TRIM notice.
For the Edgewater Operating Fund for fiscal year 2025-2026.
Second, Rainbird.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbo?
Yes.
Councilman Rainbird?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilman Thomas?
Yes.
Item 10B, maximum millage, Edgewater INS, 2005 fiscal year 2025 to 2026. Staff report.
Yes, sir. excuse me. So the next two millage rates are for previously approved, voter-approved debt service. And so we have the two millage rates, maximum millage for the Edgewater INS 2005 for fiscal year 2025-26. This was voter-approved debt that was issued back in 2005 for the animal shelter. I will note that this is the final year of payment on this particular debt service, so final year for this millage that will be noticed. In conjunction with the notice of property, notice of proposed property taxes or TRIM notice pursuant to section 200.069 of Florida statute, Council must authorize the advertisement of the maximum millage rate for the upcoming budget year. The current 2005 Edgewater INS Animal Shelter millage rate is 0.02 per thousand assessed value. For fiscal year 2026, the millage rate levy should be 0.01 per thousand assessed value based on the sale of the limited general obligation note payable for 2005. The revenues for fiscal year 2026 would be budgeted in the amount of $21,116. Note that this is the last year for the assessment. Council motion is recommended for council to authorize the Edgewater INS 2005 maximum millage to be advertised as part of the 2025 trim notice at 0.0100 per 1,000 of assessed value.
Thank you. Open a public hearing. Citizens' comments. Council comments and questions. Yep. Council comments and questions. Great job last year. Okay. Is there a motion to approve?
I make a motion for the maximum millage rate for Edgewater INS 2005 fiscal year 2005-2006 trim notice 0.0100.
Can you please just clarify
2025-2026.
Thank you.
Second. Seconded by Councilwoman Gillis. Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbo?
Yes.
Councilman Rainbird?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilman Thomas?
Yes.
Item 10C, maximum millage, Edgewater INS 2016 fiscal year 2025 to 2026. Staff report.
So the maximum millage for the 2016 fiscal year 25-26, this was voter-approved general obligation debt that was issued in 2016 for the Parks Project, a.k.a. Whistle Stop Park, in conjunction with the Notice of Proposed Property Taxes or Trim Notice pursuant to 200.069 of Florida statute. Council must authorize advertisement of the maximum millage rate for the upcoming budget year. The current Edgewater INS 2016 Go Parks millage rate is 0.1267 per thousand assessed value. For fiscal year 2026, the millage rate levy should be 0.1129 per thousand assessed value based on the sale of the limited general obligation note payable of 2017. The revenues for fiscal year 2026 would be budgeted in the amount of $238,397. Council to authorize the Edgewater INS 2016 maximum millage to be advertised as part of the 2025 trim notice at 0.1129 per thousand of assessed value.
Okay, thank you. Citizens' comments. Council comments. Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to approve the maximum millage for Edgewater INS 2016 fiscal year 2025-2026 for the Edgewater DR420 debt 2025-1920 Go Parks.
Is there a second?
Oh, sorry. For trim notice 2025-0.1129.
Yes, ma'am.
Second, Rainbow.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbo?
Yes.
Councilman Rainbird?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilman Thomas?
Yes.
Item 10D, ratification of the Coastal Florida Police Benevolent, I'm tongue-tied, Association, PBR, collective bargaining agreement. Staff report.
This is regarding the ratification of the police union, PBA, collective bargaining agreement. The police membership agreed to accept the terms of the one-year contract. It is a 6% pay increase with some other incentives included. Staff recommends approval.
Thank you. Citizens' comments. Council comments. 6% pay increase, very glad it needed to happen. Is there any further citizens or council comments? Is there a motion to approve?
Make a motion to ratification of the Coastal Florida Police Benevolent Association Collective Bargaining Agreement.
Second.
Roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbo?
Yes.
Councilman Rainbird?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes.
Councilman Thomas?
Yes.
Item 11, officer reports. Item 11A, city clerk. I'm sorry, before we move on, item 10E has been tabled. City clerk.
I just have one thing. Coming up next month in August is the Florida League of Cities annual conference, and we have Mayor DePue and Councilwoman Gillis both attending. And when we do have attendees at the conference, we have to designate a voting delegate. So we would just need consensus for either Mayor DePue or Councilwoman Gillis to be the voting delegate for the City of Edgewater. I have to notify them ahead of time.
I don't mind to do it. It's up to you.
Rock, paper, scissors.
Are you comfortable with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Of course. Do I need to make a motion that he does it again? Or?
No, I just need consensus.
Whatever they say.
Thank you. The word of the day.
Yes. Let's all say it together.
That's all I have.
Aaron can say it fast. Item 11B, City Attorney.
Yes, just real quickly, there's been two new lawsuits filed against the city. The first was brought by Bristol West Insurance Company, a subrogee of Charles St. Germain. This involves a car accident involving a city police officer. It's just a property damage subrogation claim. I move to dismiss the case because they did not send proper pre-suit notice to the city, and also because they improperly should not have sued our employee. The employee has individual sovereign immunity for acts within the course and scope of their employment. In response to my motion to dismiss, they filed an amended complaint, which they're entitled to do. And to that, they attached notices they sent to the claim service for our insurance company. In my opinion, that's inadequate pre-suit notice. So I moved to, I filed a second motion to dismiss. And then in response to that, the plaintiff just took a voluntary dismissal of the case without prejudice. So my thinking is that they will now probably send the proper notice to the city, wait 6 months, and then refile the case. But at this point, it has been dismissed without prejudice. The second case was brought by Mr. Patel against the city and a city employee. It involves an auto accident, and this was just recently served, so I have not yet filed a response to this, but I will be doing that in the next week.
Thank you.
And that's all I have.
Okay. Is there anything else at this time, City Manager? Do you have a report?
I'd like to conclude the second part of my report, Mr. Mayor.
Sure.
I've had several issues with the city clerk, and it seems to be getting worse. I think the straw that broke the camel's back was it was sent out in a notice in your water bill that there was going to be a public workshop last Monday at 4 o'clock. And I don't do anything before to keep my mind clear. And I spent all day at home, showed up here at 20 minutes to 4, waited till the doors usually don't open at 10 minutes to 4. Waited till 10 minutes to 4, nobody's here. I called Joe. I said, Joe, is there a meeting today? No. And I didn't get notice. It was not, and it was on the mail out in the water bill. And I wrote it down on my calendar. I was not noticed. I have a lack of communication, failed to notify meetings and rescheduling, lack of response to requests, significantly behind on the meeting minutes, unprofessional statements made, and unwillingness to adapt to my request. And at this time, I would like to move to terminate the city clerk without cause. I'm sure there's just going to be some discussion.
Would a second council member like to make a motion to bring that up for discussion?
A second for discussion.
Okay, can we call the roll for discussion?
Councilwoman Dalbo?
Yes.
Councilman Rainbird?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
Yes, for discussion.
Councilman Thomas?
Yes.
Okay, you made your points. Would someone like to counteract that and talk about the motion that's on the floor?
I got a lot of phone calls, too, about statements made, minutes, being told how am I going to get the minutes done, which I understand, but I'm getting phone calls. The statement made about the statement made last, the inquiry made at the last meeting about I'll quit. I got at least 5 phone calls about that. I felt it was very unprofessional.
Well,
my job is to have these people not call me complaining about things. That's all our job is, to keep these people happy and not get my phone ringing.
Everything I ask Bonnie to do, Bonnie does. I mean, I don't have any concerns, like the lack of communication. I mean, I got the notice for it being rescheduled, so I'm not facing some of these same issues.
Well, I think I'm being punished because I don't have an email. But I'm very proud that I answer my phone calls within usually around 10 minutes, except Mr. Dickerson. I hope you're listening, because he called me Friday night a week ago. I tried to call him back twice that night, once on Saturday, once on Sunday, once on Monday, once on Tuesday, and once on Wednesday. And every time it said that the network was down. It's like Miss Teresa, she couldn't find my number, and she didn't have an email. So she comes by my house last week, right? What did I do? I invited you into my house, and we had a nice conversation, right? It's better than emailing. I'm a dinosaur on that stuff. But I believe I'm being punished because I don't have an email, you know? And all it takes is a phone call. Hey, there's no meeting today. You know, I wasted a whole day, you know?
Go ahead.
Well, I also have not had any problems with Bonnie. She's always very professional, answers my questions very promptly, and possibly this is a good discussion to have. If, Mike, you think maybe you're being targeted, maybe that's not the case, but maybe this is a good way to have a conversation. And saying, you know, I understand you work differently, and the clerk should be able to adapt to each council as they are. So maybe there should be a conversation about how we can move forward to make sure that you are also, you shouldn't miss any meetings. You should be held to the same accountability as the rest of council. So I just think maybe there needs to be a conversation on how Bonnie can better serve you as she serves us.
I'm scared to death that, because I called Miss Chris to see what time the meetings are, you know. I called today to say, is it 4 o'clock or is it 6 o'clock, you know.
I think that Bonnie's done a tremendous job as a clerk, but I have to echo some of those same concerns. I have a couple things that haven't been followed up on, such as things I wanted to communicate and get to the community, such as a couple. I wanted to continue what Councilman Rob started. I wanted to do an agenda review with the community, and a couple things just haven't been followed up with. And I have received a lot of calls from community members about public record issues, and I've also received calls about the comment that we're all in this together, and several residents did hear that. I think you've been a tremendous clerk, and we need to move forward as a team. And I think that the punctuation has been off on a few issues.
Well, I think there's always room for improvement, and I find it very problematic for myself that I sit closer to Bonnie than you do, but you heard it, and residents who are 15 feet away behind her screen can hear. I just feel that I don't believe that. I think if I can't hear it, and maybe Eric can, how could you hear if I couldn't hear it? And being that so far away, I can't hear whispers that the residents are saying. So I not that I don't believe it, I just have a hard time understanding how that could be heard over her screen down the aisle and into the seats. Especially with a whisper.
You can think that, but they stated they heard it.
But did you hear it?
I did, and so did Councilmember Rainberg.
Well, I'm sure
I wouldn't have brought it up if I didn't hear it for myself.
Okay, I did hear it myself. I didn't hear it.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. I heard it firsthand, and okay. I'm sorry. The city clerk admitted to stating exactly what was said. So it was stated. Okay. And that's no discussion if it was or wasn't. The city clerk owned up to it, which was a very proper thing to do, and I appreciate it. And she stated that it shouldn't have been made, and she was out of line, and that she did state the comments.
Well, I'm not saying that she did or didn't. I'm just referring to the fact that you have all these residents calling, complaining. That how can they hear with all this? And I did hear complaints about not the residents not being able to see Bonnie because of the big screens. So can they not see Bonnie or can they not hear Bonnie? I just want to go on record saying it's
understandable.
I find it peculiar.
I heard it, and so did Councilmember Rainberg.
Well, in 2022, when I was mayor, she printed out all my emails, put them in my box. So I said, why don't you do that this time? Oh, I don't have time to do that. You know, how could you do it in 2010? It's only been 2.5 years, you know. Why could you do it then and not now? Who's the boss here? We're her boss. I feel like she's the boss.
Well, there's a motion to terminate on the city clerk's contract agreement without cause. Mr. Wolf, would you like to say anything?
City clerk's contract does allow you to terminate it with or without cause with 30 days notice. The contract can be terminated without cause for convenience, so you don't need any stated reason other than convenience. Upon termination without cause, the city clerk would get the benefits set forth in the contract, which include 20-week severance pay, among other benefits. So you have the absolute right to terminate it without cause for no stated reason.
I think a lot of the issues that have been, without regards to the comment, but other things that people have had concerns about, I think part of it is staffing. I mean, in 2022, did we have, like, I don't know offhand when you were talking about this before, like, was there more people in that office? Because
nope.
I know there was extra people, but there's also extra workload with a lot of stuff coming in. And I know they're trying to catch up on the minutes. I've seen them back in there working on that all the time. And I think that there was still kind of, isn't there still, like, playing some catch up after they lost Tammy from P&Z, so...
If I remember right, it was just her and Lisa when I was the last mayor. There was only two people in there. Now they got three.
Okay, and there's a motion on the floor to terminate and honor the contract. Is there a second?
Is that the motion without cause?
The motion to terminate was without cause at this time and honor the agreement of the contract.
I'll second it.
Okay, roll call.
Councilwoman Dalbo?
No.
Councilman Rainbird?
Yes.
Mayor DePue?
Yes.
Councilwoman Gillis?
No.
Councilman Thomas?
Yes.
Okay, so how to proceed? Do you honor the contract with 30 days?
Right, this would be 30 days notice, and then after that, she would be entitled to the severance pay and other benefits set forth in the contract. I do think there should be a special meeting, perhaps, to appoint a new city clerk, because the city clerk, by charter, does work and is appointed by the city council. So that's not something that could be delegated to the city manager.
And it would be an interim city clerk at this time, correct?
However you want to do it, yes.
I don't think we could post it for 30 days and... have a permit, just talking with the council. I think it had to be advertised. Would you agree?
Yep.
Or do we wish to hire a permit hire within 30 days and rush to the
do we have somebody in mind for an interim?
I could give an update tomorrow to see who is available either in-house or outside the city.
Well, it's too late to add it to the agenda tomorrow, isn't it? But someone could bring it up for discussion, I believe. So at this time, the city clerk is given a 30-day notice based on what occurred tonight.
Now, just for clarification, is she still going to be in her position for 30 days, or are you saying that?
To honor the contract.
Yes,
her
it does allow, yes, 30 days notice. So okay. This would be the beginning of the 30-day notice, as long as she continues to, of course, perform her regular duties for that 30-day period. She would be paid for all that. At that point, the severance pay would start.
Okay.
After 30 days.
And is the clerk willing to perform those duties? 30 days?
Okay. The city clerk will be on for 30 days. Seeing no further comments. Okay. Item 12, citizens' comments. Seeing none at this time, I want to thank Ms. Powell for coming, and would you actually like to come up and see how it is on this side of the dais?
She can sit in my
come seat. On up.
No.
We are adjourned at this time. It's always something.